Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Nun Ches. We're holding the bottom line of Nun Zayin Omid Beis, and we're going to repeat the last 7-8 words that we said at the end of yesterday's shir, because that's the introduction to today's shir, which is Omer Rav Acha Bar Yankiv Halacha Treifa Yoledes Mishabachas. The reason Rav Acha Bar Yankiv says this is because we had a brisa approximately 10 lines from the bottom of the Omid, where the Gemara said yesterday, the Tanakam of that brisa said, that simen l'treifa kosher en yoledes. If you have a female animal and you have a shayla whether it's a treifa or not, take a look and see whether it's going to give birth. If it gives birth, you know for sure it's not a treifa, because a treifa cannot have a child. That's what the Tanakam said. Rav Acha Bar Yankiv says in the bottom that that's not the halacha, but rather a treifa does have the ability to be a yoledes. So if you see an animal that you have a shayla, your treifa, nishka treifa, don't automatically say by the fact that this animal became a new mommy, oh, mazel tov, the animal gave birth, muzav zayin, that it's not a treifa. So nishtemus, it could be a treifa, and it could still have a child, and could still be mishabachas, it could still improve in its physical state, and blossom and flourish, and get stronger, etc. But still could be a treifa. So based on that, we're going to have now two versions of a discussion between Ameimar and Ravashi, as we'll see in the Gemara. Omer Ameimar, Hani Be'e de Treifa. What happens if you have a hen, and the hen lays eggs, and the hen is a certified, confirmed Treifa? We know for sure that it's a Treifa. And it had now Be'em, it had now those eggs. Shech Lekama, the first group of eggs that it had, which Rashi explains means those eggs that it had within itself at the time that it became a treifa. In other words, this hen was already quote-unquote pregnant. It already had eggs ready to lay in the next few minutes, hours, etc. And during that time period, it became a treifa. It had to become a treifa, walked down the street, a car went over it, and then they took a CAT scan and determined that there's a hole in the veshit, or whatever the situation is. We know for sure that it is a treifa. Sheikh Lekama, those eggs which are inside that hen are osir. Why the osir? Rashi explains, as we'll see later in the Gemara, because this man, the Omer, holds that uber yerech imayhu, and therefore, just like by a treifa, the hands and the feet, the nose and the toes, every part of the hen is treifa. So even the uber inside is considered to be yerech imay, part and parcel of the mami, and therefore is also a treifa. However, mikan ve'elech, subsequent new groups of eggs which are laid by this hen, top line, have a lay zev zegoyim umutter. That already be a zev zegoyim. Why would be a zev zegoyim? Because of the fact that this hen is laying eggs as a result of mating with a regular kosher rooster. So the rooster was not a treifa. The mommy, the hen, was a treifa. So now the produce, the eggs that are produced by this union, are going to be the product of both a mutter dikka rooster plus an osir dikke hen, zebezegoyim is mutter. And that's why it says the Tanikam, not Tanikam, but this is why it says a Meimar. The first group that was there, b'shas ma'asa, ubi yerech imoy, osir. Those that come on the scene later on with the mating of a rooster, those are mutter. Fine. So far, so good. Eisve Ravashi, the Meimar, Freik Ravashi, ta Meimar, b'shavin bebeyas treifa shasura mamneshe godla b'isur. Who is this Shavin? We'll see Mechim in another 3-4 lines that there's a machlok between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua legabi a vlad of a behema treifa. Well, that vlad of the behema treifa is considered to be a treifa, or is considered to be kosher. After all, it's only the mami that's a treifa. The vlad of that mami doesn't have a din of treifa legabi mizbeach, legabi hedjoit. Machlok is Reb Lezer, Yeshua, as we'll see in another couple of lines. But even though they have a machlokes lagabi vlad behaima, that be'as treifa, they both agree she'asura mipnei shegodla be'isur, because it grew up in isur. Now the Gemara assumes that if it grew up in isur, that means that the entire growth was be'isur, and therefore we're talking about the second group of eggs laid by this hen. The second group of eggs, it says it's osir. We just had now that Ameimar said that the second group of eggs is havalei zev zegoyim umutter. That everybody, not everybody, that Rav Acha Bar Yankiv holds that, I'm sorry, that Amemar holds that Zev is a goyim mutter, the second group of eggs laid by this hen, which is a treifa, is mutter, because it's Zev is a goyim. Aye, it says in this braisa, the shoven that both Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, even though they have a machlokes the gabi of lad behemah treifa, but they both agree by beya treifa, meaning of an oif, of a hen. They both agree that it's awesome and they should go to be isur. So how did Amemar say that it's mutter? Everything more hasim is sabdim yara. When talking about the shovim, the bias traitor, it's also it's talking about that there was no mating situation of a hen with a rooster. The hen laid the eggs on its own. And for those of you that are familiar with the modern production of eggs, most eggs that we have today are called unfertilized eggs, because the eggs are not the product of a union between a mommy and a daddy, rooster and hen, but rather, safna miyara, vusai safna miyara, says Rashi, fourth line, misafna miyara, he mi'atzma mischamemes ba'aret, the sand, the soil, warms it up, the lettuce, and it's able to go and have eggs, even without having a mate. Vahu chad goyremu, if that's the case, that there is no mate, then it's only the hen itself that is producing those eggs on its own. So there's no zeviz goyrem, it's only the treifa, and that's why they're aser. They should go to be aser. Sounds like a very good teret. Vaytimar v'lishnei lebishech lakama, I have even a better teret. Why do we say we're talking about that first group, which it says on the top line, that Amemir said, beyed the treifa meshech lakama are aser. Why the aser? Because they're Uber Yerach Imoy. They were in the mommy's stomach at the time that the hen became a treifa, so they also became a treifa. So therefore, let it say, Vishavu Be'ez treifa, that they're awesome, and they should God will be Isser. They grew up in Isser as a result of that tarfis that happened to the mommy. So that tarfis also taints them that they're also treifa. Says the Gemara, the svar is a good svar, but the text doesn't work. It says, they should God will be Isser. God will, says Rashi, means it sounds like Kol giduleha bi isur, and if you're talking about the shech lekama, it's only gomra mi boile. Because after all, before the maisa treifa, before the car accident or whatever caused this hen or this oif to become a treifa, before that moment it was all totally mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Everything was totally kosher. It's unfortunate that there was this maisa of treifa, and that caused that the gemar of these eggs became osir. By the fact that it says in the braisa, the shovin shasurim, the shagod labisa, instead of shagom rabisa, that's why the pshat of shich lakama is a difficult pshat. And I prefer rather the pshat of safna meyara, that there was no mating, there was no zeviz agoyrim. It was only one goyim, and that's the mami. Elohod, it says it none, but it's really Elohod the Sanya. We learned in the Braisa. Vlad Treifa, we just spoke about a moment ago. Vlad of Behema Treifa. What's Elohod? Don't bring it for the Mizbeach. A Treifa is also to the Mizbeach. It says in the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, it says, Min Abokar, Min Atzoyin, Dash, Nimor, Min Abokar, Lohoitzias Atreifa. And the Vlad of that Treifa is also a Treifa, and therefore, Vayikra Vagam Mizdech. Don't let it be brought as a carbon. Rabbi Shua, Oy, Me Yikra. And Rabbi Shua says, no, you are allowed to. It's not a problem. You can bring it as a carbon. Fetimo Maikam, what's the Machlokes? It says, Yimor, Bishan Nitrifa, Philip Soif Ibra. It's talking about that, not like the case of the hen, where it was first Mu'uberes and then became a treifa, and therefore we said that all the eggs inside, by definition, are eggs that became treifa together with the mommy. But rather, you told me shenitra first, the animal became a treifa, and then vlubsoif after became a treifa, vlubsoif dibra, and after that it became uberis, became pregnant. It's about zayin. And again, this goes in accordance with Rav Acha Bar Yankov on the Omid Beis. Rav Acha Bar Yankov said that a treifa can be yoledes, because if you hold like the Tanakam of that brisa, the treifa can't be yoledes. So then there's no problem of Nitrafa L'Bsayf Ibra. The mommy is not a treifa. You called it a treifa, but that's a misnomer because it's not a treifa. If it's a treifa, it couldn't be Mubaris. It can't physically, it can't have children. But the fact that it has a child that became Mubaris is a simistak and not a treifa.
It's a little bit, a few lines before. I don't understand the Zebizah, how something is.
Every time you have a tati and a mommy, right, and they give birth to a baby, So baby has 50% of the genes of the tati and 50% of the genes of the mati. The genes from the tati usually are ripped because the father's not so careful with his genes, and the mother's probably nicer. Even though today you can buy genes which are ripped, you can buy them.
You want them, but it costs more money.
It costs more money if they rip it, and if not, you have to rip it. Anyway, no, it's okay. But getting back to our Gemara, the point is that the DNA of the baby is from the tati and the mami together. So now if the tati was a kosher and the mami was not a kosher, what's the status of the baby? Is the baby a kosher or not a kosher? So that's a machlek. Zev is zev. That means the genes of the father and the genes of the mother. The genes of the father were kosher genes. The genes of the mother were trefa genes. What is now the status of the baby? That's a machlek. Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. Reb Lezer says that the status of the baby is all to trefa like the mommy. The mommy's genes are stronger. Well, according to Reb Yeshua, the tati's genes are stronger. Good. Okay. Fine. Okay. Perfect. Right. Nothing else. Anyway, Yishok gets the Gemara. Is there the Zegoyim? Is also the is mutter. That's the machas. Nochmo. Is Ramaika. If even Nitrafaz of Saif Ibra, the blood of the Zev is Egoidim is Osir. That means that since the Mami became a Treifa, and then afterwards that Mami, the Treifa, lived together with its, quote unquote, its husband, with the male cow or the male sheep, whatever it was, and now became Uberes, which according to Bacha Yankiv is possible, you could be a Treifa and become Uberes, and now it has a child. So that child, does it have the status of a Treifa or not? The blood says, yes. It takes after the mommy, it's ultra treifa, it's osir. The Bishua says it's zeb zegoyim, it's a mixed blood over here, mixed genes of father and mother, it's what? Freiti mori achan, mythically the gvoya, lithically the hedget. Why are they arguing the God of the Gvoya, which unfortunately is not in the Gia at this moment? Hopefully in another couple of hours they're going to announce that the Yar HaKala, the Baruch Hashem Mashiach is here, and therefore it will be Negev, but at the moment it's not Negev. So let it go and talk about Hedget. That what? That if you have a Bahama that's a confirmed Treifa, you go to the Bahama store, and it says on this side you have Treifa. Even today when you go to the supermarket, it says kosher, non-kosher products sold here. So you go and say, this is our Treifa Bahama, and this is our non-Treifa Bahama. So why don't you go and say, and then there'll be a third category, the product of a treifa together with a non-treifa. There's a machlokes, exactly. So let the same machlokes be between Reb Lezer and Yeshua. Are you allowed to go and buy and eat that mixed marriage of a kosher and a treifa together? And what should you go and say? What would be the machlokes? That according to Reb Lezer, Zev is a goyim is also just like the mommy is a treifa, the baby is a treifa. So don't bother shechting it because it's a treifa, treifa, treifa. And even though you won't see any simana treifa, it makes no difference. The mommy was a treifa, the baby is a treifa. Exactly, it's in the jit. Mash Enkin Reb Yeshua says, no, Zev is a goyim is mutter. You're allowed to go and buy it, eat a lechachila. You can give it for kiddush, you can give it at the bar mitzvah. It's not a problem. So why don't we have the same machlokes as the Gabi Hedjit? Why do we have to talk about the Gvoyim? Says the Gemara, you're right. We could have the exact same machlokes as the Gabi Hedjit. Like Yicha Koich the Rabbi Yeshua wants to go and tell you the Koich of Rabbi Yeshua. Then what did Rabbi Yeshua said? Rabbi Yeshua said, Zev Zegoyim is mutter. So I might think it's mutter, okay, for me and you. But for the Rabbi Yeshua, for the Shefa, you have to be so careful not to go and give anything which would have even the slight scintilla, a hint, a perception of perhaps a maybe could be. So I figure that might be osir. Even allowed to go and bring such as a mixed breed of a treifa together with a kosher. Their product, their produce can also be brought for a carbon, even for a carbon. Why don't we say the other way around? Let's go and say that it is mutter even lehejit, and to go and tell you, I'm sorry, to say that it's osir even lehejit, to go and tell you the koyich of Reb Lezer. Because I would go and think that maybe it's only osir for the Rabbi Yishalayim, but maybe for us plain folk, maybe we would be able to go and eat it. That's right, Reb Lezer has to say, Zev is Egoyim is osir, the fila hejit nami osir, so why didn't we go and talk about the machloikis by hejit, l'diach koyich of Reb Lezer that's osir, instead of talking about givoya to tell you the koyich of Rabbi Yishua that it's mutter. We prefer go and talk about the Koyach that Teira. Now, unfortunately, there are many that have over the years taken these words Koyach that Teira Odeflei, and they have manipulated them into somewhat of heretical teachings. And you see the Torah says, Koyach Heter, oh, you try to find coolness, try to find coolness, try to find coolness. Chas v'shalom. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is, if you go to a roof even an experienced Rav, and you ask him what the halacha is, and he's not sure, what's the easy way out? Yeah, you know,
to be
on the safe side. You know, it's only cost you $1, $5, $100. You know, you're wealthy enough. Just, you know, sell it to the clothing, sell it to the for dog food, give it to the goyim. That's easy.
He said only a few weeks ago. He said that the person who's the big talmud chacham will look for any way, because he really knows, he's so familiar with the halacha that he's able to say yes or no and find kulos.
Exactly. The koyich that Torah means, if you're talking about a person, a chief rabbi, a real chief rabbi, a great, great scholar, and you go to him, and he's able to go and find the heter, then people say, wow, yeah, psh, achidish. I would never give him a heter. Ramesh is up to Samutta. Ramesh is up. If he says so, so that's the koyich that Torah odiflei, because someone who has the full weight of responsibility on his shoulders, and he knows kol ha'tera kula, and if he's able to delve into it and finally come up with a heter, that's a siman that he is, as they used to say, a bright plaitus. He has broad shoulders to be able to go and take upon himself such a heter, and therefore the Gemara wants to say, look at the greatness of Rabbi Yeshua, that he was willing to say that it's mutter not only for me and you to go and eat such a mixed breed of kosher and treifa, but even for the Rabbi Yishalom, even for a carp.
This is where the Sam Cipher, many months ago, Timothy would like to tell us that it was a big machlaikis in Hungary. They used to force feed the geese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big machlaikis.
Gestopped again.
Anyway, Sam Cipher decided he's going to take one of these scuffed geese and he's going to have the goose live in his yard and see if the goose lives a year. Mm-hmm. And the goose lived many years in terms of helping the Sam Cipher out, but they retired him Auschwitz and Hungary. All the war. This is machlokes between the Ashkenazim who permitted it, Hasidim who ushered it.
Mm-hmm.
Even some houses, Pinchas told me that the men would need it, but the women would eat it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have anything in reverse? Did you ever have that the men did eat and the women didn't?
Lived for many years.
His mother said she used to stuff geese in Hungary. She said they had tremendous fun off them. It didn't work to fight. There was any Tsar Vali Chaim. He said they would be, in ecstasy, getting all this. They just put cereal down their throats and they would force it.
Mm-hmm. Gestopped again, they used to call
it. They would massage their throat to get the cereal down. And the geese loved eating so much.
Mm-hmm. And they became
a crop. They had a very enlarged liver, and the liver had a very good taste. In France, they do it.
Even today, with foie gras, foie gras.
Foie gras.
Anyway, so let me get back to Shkoyach for sharing that with us. And therefore, says the Gemara, although they had a machloikis legabi the vlad behaima traifa. Now what? Do I say zev zegoyim is mutter? Or zev zegoyim is osir? That's legabi the vlad behaima. Because a behaima cannot go and give birth without mating with another behaima. However, beyas traifa, the beya of a hen, which is a traifa, shasura, that it's osir. Why? B'saf l'meyara. Typically, the hen is going to give birth without mating, but rather goes and gives birth to, lays unfertilized eggs. That's chad goyim, since there is no male to go and shear the genes. There's only the female genes, so therefore it's totally treif, and therefore it is also. Yeah, did you know that a hen can give birth without mating with a rooster? Well, if you didn't know, now you know it. So if you go into that business,
you can give birth, you can give chicks, you can have
chicks, you get them and give birth, you have to lay eggs, right? Yes, lay eggs. We mean lay eggs. Good. Anyway.
So usually the male fertilizes it?
No, usually nowadays most egg production is without the males. We let the males go and learn dafayomi or go to work or do something else.
Right.
It's just the females on their own that go and lay the eggs on their own. These are called unfertilized eggs. It's one great benefit of unfertilized eggs because then you don't have to worry about blood spots and stuff like that because you know that it's not...
Because it's not really an embryo.
Exactly right. And that's the end of the shtickle. So this shtickle was the first version of what we started with on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the Amud Beis, that Rav Acha Bar Yankov said that a treifa can become pregnant, can give birth, can lay eggs. A treifa can do all of the above. Whether or not the child of this treifa will be kosher or not, That'll be machlokes between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. But if you're talking about Beim, and it was Safna Mi'arabeim, meaning without the benefit of a daddy rooster, then everybody agreed that it's also because it's the produce of the treif. Now we have a brand new version in what we just said now. Rav Acha, Sovolok Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. Rav Acha repeated this Gamze Shtikl Torah because he holds like Rav Acha Bar Yankiv that a treifa can be your ledes. Umasi lo la'amem k'namar, and therefore he says this whole amem is vart of the Beit Treifa, that the first group are aser, the second group are mutter, etc. The whole discussion like we just said. However, Ravina Loi Savolok Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. Umasi lo la'amem b'hai rishna. Ravina disagrees vehemently, or even if not vehemently, but he disagrees with Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, and therefore Ravina holds that a treifa cannot be yoiledes. Do you know where there is what about Dr. Goldfarb?
He didn't.
It's in Israel.
Yeah, but we're not looking for Dr. Hov, we're looking for his Gemara.
What? His Gemara? The Goldfarb's in it, so maybe he took it with him.
Okay. Okay. Well, he's also the Achikamah? Psh, wow, we have three representatives. Chaimain, only two. We are enriched having so many representatives of the Achikamah. Anyway, Uri Mitchum is thinking of going next year, which is wonderful. So continuing on, Zotimor Vaita. Zotimor Ravina does not hold like Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. And therefore he holds that a treifa cannot give birth. A treifa cannot become pregnant. A treifa cannot lay eggs. And therefore he cannot learn like we had a maimer until now. That the first group of eggs is treifa. The second group of eggs, what do you mean second group of eggs? There's no such thing as a second group of eggs. Because if it's a treifa, it cannot go and lay eggs. It cannot become pregnant. And therefore, Master Zameimer by Lishna, he learns a Meimer just, and I wouldn't say just the opposite, but fundamentally different. And he starts again. Omer Meimer. Hani Beyim Desavik Treifa. What happens if you have a Beyim of a hen, a goose, a duck, a female hen, goose, duck. A hen by definition is female. Any one of those is a suffix treifa. I'm not sure. If she or if she, I don't know for sure whether it's
treifa. What type of suffix is it?
What type of suffix? We have 18 possible suffixes.
Okay.
There's an x-ray machine. We took an x-ray and we see a spot on the veshet. I don't know if that spot is a puncture or that spot is just a spot.
Investigation.
We're
not sure.
And it's a suffix treifa. Okay. So then I want to determine, is it a treifa or not? Remember, Rav Acha Bar Yankiv said a treifa can be your lettuce. Ravina holds that a treifa cannot be your lettuce. So I want to determine whether this hen is a treifa or not. We'll see. If it gives birth, we know for sure that it's not a treifa. If it doesn't give birth, when I say give birth, I'm sorry, lay eggs. If it does not lay eggs, konzan your treifa, konzan ishka treifa.
It could only be good according to one, but not according to the other.
Exactly. So that's what Imar now addresses. So Imar ma'amayimar hani beyidis safik treifa. I'm not sure whether or not the mami is a treifa, but the mami has in it bey. If it's shichlakama means that, again, that the mami was already pregnant when the hen was hit by a car or whatever, and I have a safik treifa. So I don't know now. Are these eggs suffix, are these treifa eggs or not? Because I don't know whether the mommy is a treifa or not. So can I eat the eggs? So Timur Mishinalu, let them hold, put them in the refrigerator nicely for a week or two, and let's see about the mommy. Ihadra betoana sharyan. If the mommy becomes pregnant and has brand new, lays brand new eggs, then obviously the mommy is not a treifa. And therefore you'll be able to go and eat from the first group of eggs. Viloi, if the mommy, whoever, does not become pregnant, does not lay more eggs, there could be taka the mommy is a treifa. If the mommy is a treifa, see, and then you cannot go and eat from the eggs.
I don't know.
Good. It's a good finish yet.
Not sure.
You're not sure yet. Okay, see, because you love the first pshat in the Gemara, the first version. There's now the second version. So Rav Ashi asked the Meimer. We had Rav Ashi before, and now we ask the Meimer. Umoyde be'yis treifa sh'asura m'neshe god labi'isur. Two are moida, that's Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, that had a machlokes with the gabbai, the Vlad Bahaima, whether it's treifa or not, but they both agree the gabbai, the beyas treifa, that it's awesome, it should go to be iser. So now what's the question? We said before, God to be iser means that the all of the gidulim were be iser, which means, how were all the gidulim be iser? That the hen became treifa first, and then it became pregnant and laid new eggs. So that all of these new eggs from the first moment. Exactly. From the inception until the laying of the eggs was totally godly Yisr. But you just told me now that according to Ravina, he holds not like Rav Acha ben Yaakov, and that a treifa cannot become pregnant, cannot lay eggs in the first place. So I see fairly clearly over here that a bayis treifa, God will be iser, that it can, a treifa can become pregnant and can lay eggs. Here he couldn't add, he couldn't go and be metaris, but a safna me'ara. Because if a hen cannot lay eggs after it becomes treifa, it can't lay eggs. It makes no difference how, when, where. It's not even a conversation. Says up to you, Mariet. Umoidim bebeyas treifa, not a sophic treifa. Bebeyas treifa. Shasurim nishu god of Yisr. How could that be? After all, a treifa cannot lay eggs. Amalihas with Sheikh Lakam. We must be talking about the first bunch that were already started. Sorry?
Present.
Who were already present inside the mummy's stomach at the time of the car accident or whatever the tarfus was. And then after the mummy became a certified treifa with a capital T, a capital test, we put a big sign that this mummy is a treifa. After that, it laid the eggs which had already started developing prior to this accident. What's halacha? Those happen to be aser, nishagodlam iser, because they grew in the mummy's stomach in iser. Ah, so we're not talking about brand new ones. No, brand new ones impossible. According to this second version, a treifa cannot go and become pregnant, cannot lay eggs. We're talking about the old eggs before it became treifa. Treifa became godla, gomer biboyle. The word godla, Rashi said before, is mashma that all the gidulim be iser. But now you're telling me that 50%, maybe 80% of these eggs were in this godl beheter prior to it becoming a treifa. So it shouldn't say because it's godla be iser. It says she gomer be iser, that the gemar was be iser, because at the time that the eggs were laid, by that time their mummy was already treifa, and just like any other part of the mummy is treifa, the nose and the toes and the wings and the feathers, everything is treifa, because once it's treifa there's no, you can't distinguish between one part and the other, so there too the eggs inside were treifa. So it should say gomri mibayle, not godla. Everything was the gomra. You're right, we have to go and make a slight modification. Don't say godla, say gomra. Faith my heart, not chodach kasha. You have a machloikis. Where's the machloikis? After all, a treifa cannot give birth. So how could there be a case of a vlad treifa? Your yikarev, nish yikarev. If it's a treifa, this is not. It's not. It's impossible. You can't have that the treifa gave birth at all. That first the mommy cow and the mommy sheep were muberes. It was already pregnant. And then it got into some sort of accident and it became a treifa. Ah, as a result, now the baby is also a treifa according to Rabbi Lezer. So what does Rabbi Yeshua hold? L'chaira, just like every other aver, every sinew, every bone, every artery in the animal became treif, so too did the uber inside. That's the machlokes of Blazin Rishur. Rabbi Lezer Savi uber yerech imayhu, that the uber is no different than the hip, than the thigh bone, than any other part of the mummy, just like any other part of the mummy from head to toe. Nose to toes, everything is osir. Uber is also osir. It's just like the mommy carrying around a bag with the uber inside it. Yes, there's an uber inside the womb, for sure, but it doesn't become part and parcel of the mommy. It's just being carried in the mommy in a separate sack known as a womb. And since Taka, the mother happens to be treif, because the mother became treif as a result of some sort of accident, some sort of trauma, or whatever happened, but that only affects what is inherent in the body of the animal, not what's lying in the sack that this animal is carrying within its womb.
Does Rabbi Yeshua not hold of the din of Ben Pekur then? That a shechita of a mother is matir the uber inside because lav yerachimahu?
I know it's a good question. I don't know. You'd have to, Mitchum, hopefully get to that sugya. I believe that's a sugya later on in Mesechus Chulin, otherwise in other Mesechus here in Kachim, whether the question of Ben Pekua is totally in this machlokes. Frank Dimar, but let me ask you a zaytig kasha. Why don't we have the same machlokes as Gabi Hedjit? Whether or not Uba Yerech Imayhu, and I say that the baby is treif, or Uba Lav Yerech Imay, and the baby is not treif, and we can go and eat from it lehejit. Again, so we want to give a koyach Rabbi Shua. Let's go and tell us the koyach Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua said that not only are you allowed to eat an uber of a treifa, but you're even allowed to go and bring a carbon of an uber to the Rabbi Shlom Ligvoya on the Mizbech. Why don't we go and tell you the Isur of Rablaza? Then not only is it also Ligvoya, but it's even also Lehadjit because of the fact that it's a treifa uber Yerachi. By who? As my Kaych Deatayra or the Flay. We prefer talking about the Kaych Deatayra because that shows the godless of the Poisik that he's willing to take upon himself this mammoth
Kula
responsibility, achrayas, for saying that something is mutter. Not fake tomorrow. So now the Gemara fitos umaydim. So now both Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, even though the Gabi Avlad Behema, they have a machloikis whether uber yerech imayhu or not, but they both agree that vadi moydim vadi the bay is treifa shasura b'deshich lekama. What happens the bay of a treifa? The chayra that should also be the same machloikis. You had a hen. The hen was pregnant with those eggs inside it, and then it got into some sort of nefula, drusa, treifa, accident, whatever it was. So just like the mommy became a treifa, I should say that the same machloikas applies. Are those eggs ubi yerachimai, and therefore they're also treifa? Or do you say ubala yerachimai, and they're not treifa? Frank Timura, what's the reason why everybody agrees that they're osir? My time it goes goofy, because it's part of its goof. What does it mean it's goof?
It's like the wing or the ear.
It's like, but why is the egg more like the wing or the ear than, do we say, by a vlad? So Rashi explains, b'shich lekama, Rashi about three quarters down, the kivin de agida be, de ma'ura begidin, kegufa damya. There's a major difference between a baby that is a fetus inside the womb. The womb is like a separate sack, which is carried by the mommy, not carrying it in its hands or by its legs, but it's carried inside
internally.
Internally, but it's a separate sack in which you have a baby growing, which is called a womb. But when it comes to eggs, there is no separate womb. If you cut open a hen, then often you will find that there are eggs which are developing, which are mu'ura begin. They are themselves present before the shells grow on them, and they are part of the sinews and part of the whole system, reproductive system of the hen, which doesn't have a separate corridor, a separate chamber, which says womb on it, but rather it's part and parcel of the hen, just like everything else in the hen is growing. So these embryos of eggs are also starting to grow and form and get shells also inside the thing itself.
They're really part of the hen.
They're really part. There, everybody agrees that that's, in a sense, uber yerech imay. The Gemara doesn't use that expression because it's not uber, because it's machloikis, uber yerech alav yerech. Gemara says, goofy, das is a shtick. A hen, and therefore everybody would agree that those are treif. Anyway, so you see the two separate versions, and the versions are all based on, do we hold like Rav Acher Bar Yaakov that a treif can be a lettuce, or do we say no, a treif cannot be a lettuce? In fact, that's the best test to tell whether this mommy cow or this mommy hen is kosher or not, or is treif or not. Let's see whether it gives birth. If it gives birth, you see that it's not a treifa. If it doesn't give birth, it might be a treifa, or maybe just as lazy, it doesn't want to give birth. Anyway, two versions. What's the halacha? The ilchasa. Number one, b'zacha koshne masa chaydish. That's the halacha of Rav Huna of yesterday. We had a 3 or 4 way machloikis. Is it shloshim yoim? Is it two or three years? Is it 12 months? Is it yoledes? Any yoledes? Mishabachas vaylechas? That whole machloikis we had in the brayse of yesterday. See, Morris said we paskin like a zohar koshne masachoidish, like Rav Huna said, and therefore, like we had from Reb Elia before, that he said in the name of Reb Pinchas Chaim Levracha, that Chosoifer went and held on to the geese after a year to go and see whether it's still alive and kicking. If it is, it's a chesim that it's not a treifa, because it's Zohar Koshnei Masachoydish 12 months. But the cave also has this 12 month rule, but the cave has something else. Koshaini Yoledes. If the cave gives birth, it's a simon that this, or that at least becomes pregnant and then gives birth, it's a simon that this nekeva is not a treifa, because a treifa cannot be a lettuce.
I was wondering, I was thinking about the Gemara yesterday when we started learning about this. I was wondering, in the beginning of Maseches Be'a, we have the machlokas based a little bit shamai about a be'a shenola b'yontif.
Right.
And why shouldn't it be directly tied to this machlokas? I'm looking in Maseches Shas, I don't see any references to it. But shouldn't it be tied to this machlokas? Because if it's part of the mother, and you can shech the mother on Yantif, then it's muchen from Erev Yantav, so it should be mutter even according to Beis Hillel, according to, from this perspective.
So if I'm not mistaken, one of the Gemara gives four reasons why a Beis Hillel to be Yantav is also. One of them is because of Mashkin Shezova. Mashkin Shezova means that we have, any time that you have fruit which are capable of giving a liquid, and they start Zovu, they start flowing, are you allowed to go and drink from that liquid on Shabbos or on Yontif? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is because I didn't intend drinking it. I wanted to have a juice orange to eat. I didn't want the juice orange to go and drink the juice of. And the juice is coming out. I didn't want that. But there's a gzeira, the person's going to come to go and squeeze. Give a kvetch and go and squeeze it. Because say, oh, it's so delicious.
On Shabbos, I understand. But on Yontif, why would that be a problem if you're allowed to?
Another couple of years, we're going to get back to it.
Okay, right.
Good. So there, the Gemara Ulta says that there's a difference, the Gabi Abeya and the Gabi Mashkin, because the Bey is Oichel de Ifrisu. It could be that that's considered to be a shtick of the original Oichel, and therefore, even though the Gabi Mashkin, we should be Goyzer, but maybe not Gabi Abey, we shouldn't be Goyzer, because that's part and parcel of the original hen. And therefore, just like the hen was Muchan, that's also Muchan. Anyway, the Gemara talks about these Svaras. I don't remember if it directly ties in Ubi Yerech or not, but it talks about these types of Svaras, that it's a shtick of the hen or not. But getting back to our Gemara now, and now we put two dots and we start a brand new Gemara. This new Gemara that we're talking about has nothing to do with Hilchos Treifis. It has to do about Hilchos Worms. And it tells us that a worm cannot last for more than 12 months. You have your worm, you find it in the garden, hold on to it for a year, and you'll see, especially if you don't give it food to eat, you'll see it will not last for more than a year. And that's the Lashon Am Rav Huna called Beriyush Ein Bo Yatzim. Ein is kind of Beis Chodesh, if it doesn't have a bone to it, which is a worm, it cannot live more than 12 months. So you're wondering to yourself, what difference does it make? Oh, it's going to make a big, big difference. So Akimar Am Rav Papa Shema Mira Mid Rav Huna. From what Rav Huna just said, now I'm going to learn the following halach. Hadi Am Shavol Kishe Shesliya B'Iver Asura. Before we turn the Amid, what is this all about? That is a very, very, if you will, complicated halacha, which many of us are not familiar with. And that is that there are shrotzim, there are bugs or worms that grow within the recesses of a food and have never seen the light of day. The question is, can you go and eat from those worms or from those bugs? And you say to yourself, what do you mean? It's a worm, it's a bug. Because it says in the pasuk, it's got to be sheretz hashoyretz al ha'aret. Sheretz al ha'aret means that it's come out to the parshup shot, means according to this drasha, it comes out to the world, it sees the light of day, and now it's walking around a crawling critter on top of the ground. Oh, two sides of sheretz hashoyretz al ha'aret. But we're going to see the Rashi in a moment that really depends on whether this bug, or in this case the worm, whether or not it's within something which is mechubel lekarka, or with something which is already tolush min hakarka. Because if it's mechubel lekarka, even though the worm is still inside the berry, tomato, the fruit, vegetable, whatever it happens to be, even though it's still inside, but since it's mechubel lekarka, that's considered to be shoyretz al ha'aret. It is now crawling on the ground. What ground? The ground which consists of the addendum of the fruit or vegetable in which it is crawling. So it's shoyretz al ha'aret. Mash enkid, if it's already tolish min hakarka, and only after it became tolish did within this berry, vegetable, fruit, whatever, did this worm develop, even though it's crawling inside, that is not sheretz al ha'aret, and therefore it's mutter to eat. We're not recommending people to go and eat it, but we're saying there is no isser of the sheretz or sheretz al ha'aret. Let's look at the last Rashi. He puts Rashi at the end. Kishu shesliya b'iver, that's about 8 lines before the end. Va'oidim mechubetz. Kishu, as you know, is like a gourd or a pumpkin from that, a cucumber from that family. Shesliya, that got worms in it. B'iver means when it's still on, connected to the ground, connected to whatever stalk, whatever. However, these things are connected to the ground, on its stem, whatever. Asura hatelas bachila. If it has worms in it, you're not allowed to eat those worms. The kibin the maleches b'toich hakisha, since it's walking around inside, v'akisha b'zochmer is the karka, and it's connected to the ground. Sheretz al ha'aret screening pain. We call this a sheretz hasheretz al ha'aret, even though it's never seen the light of day, it's never crawled outside of its shell. But since the shell is connected to the ground, it's as if it's crawling on the ground. Sheretz al ha'aret. Obviously, betolish, if it only became a telas, it only became a worm after they went and cut the vegetable, they cut this kishus.
How you would be able to detect that?
You see it afterward.
You're going to see in a moment how we're going to take that. That's a very good question. We're going to see that in a moment. Obviously, a betolish. What happens if it only became a talas betolish? In other words, when it was mechuber, this talas didn't exist. The talas only grew after it became tolish already. So if you want to love share it, so those are nishka share it ala aret. Adonofik minei until it makes a hole in the top of the fruit, in top of the kishus, on top of his gourd, and halach al gabi karka, and then it goes out and it starts crawling outside. Oh, kirufav shulai pirkei avos, we'll see mechem later on in our parak on daf samach zayin. So getting back to our gemara, the shema minu Rav Huna. Since Rav Huna said that worms can only exist for 12 months, hodi amishmol kishus sheesliya bivel asura. This halach that we just said now, that if you have worms inside the kishus, as long as they are mechuber, they are asur. So now, what happens if hani hamri the kada? Tamri, of course, are dates. The kada means of a grois afas, of a big barrel. So you have a barrel full of dates. And lebosar treisa yarchi shata, the dates have already been in this barrel for the last 12 months. I know it says at the bottom of the barrel, packaged in New York, whenever, upstate New York, more than 12 months ago. They've been in there already for more than 12 months. I either open up some of those tamarim, and I find the tamarim some worms, and I say, oh my God, the worms! You know they eat worms. Says the Gemara, no, they are mutashari and they are mutatid. Why are they allowed to go and eat? Maybe these worms were already there when the tamarim were still attached to the tree, and therefore they shrutz mashayit sala aret. But since Rav Huna said that a worm can only last for up to, but not more than 12 months, and these tamarim were already packaged 12 months ago, and I see live worms. Muzach Zayin. See, that's how you know that the live worms are not there when it was still mechuber. They were only developed after it was already tolish, or after tolish.
How they get there? How they get into there? I mean, unless it's, you know, sealed in plastic.
Biogenesis.
Exactly. They're, yeah. I mean, unless the animals crawled in from the ground into the cod, into the fruit.
I'm not familiar with the scientific reproduction of worms, but I believe that you will find in the science books that worms do not reproduce like human beings or like people or like animals. Right. You don't have to have two mates where two worms got in there.
Still, there would be something there at some point from some worm that crawled on the ground.
I don't think that that's necessarily the case. In other words, I think you can have worms self-producing within tamarim without any outside contact, without any outside infiltration. Within the tamarim themselves, worms developed in them. How the Rabbi Yishlam creates the worms, they create them within these fruit. Anyway,
many years ago, this was a spontaneous generation of biogenesis, but it's clear now.
I don't know whether what the scientific books say. All I know is what Chazal are telling us, okay, that the worms can develop from inside without ever having been shared to Laaretz. And therefore,
it would have been the mommy had laid an egg in there, so they weren't there. They, you know, the eggs were the larva.
Excellent, beautiful. But bottom line is,
in the 60s, I remember Mahadran used to make canned cherries, and it said in Yiddish on the label that that there's no worms in the cherries, that they check them all.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Good. Anyway, so the bottom line is, what the Gemara is telling us is that Rav Huna's halacha that a worm can only last up to 12 months has significant halachic ramifications. That if you find this kad of cut tamarim, and they've been packaged already more than 12 months ago, and you find the tamarim inside, you can still give hashgacha on and say that these are kosher, because although the worms were never shoreit al aret, you inspect all the tamarim and you see that there are no holes, no perforations, so therefore it was always within the tamarim and never saw the light of day, and therefore they are maybe they were there already when it was still mechuber, and Rashi said with the mechuber they show you salars. They cannot be, because then they would be dead worms. They wouldn't be live, because they cannot live for more than 12 months. Good. The amarat or amarat les baka bar yoima to les didva bas shata. Abaka, says Rashi, is on the third line, min zvuv atzintzela v'neshechas kitzira. It bites like a wasp. I don't know if a wasp goes and bites or what it stings, but regardless, it goes and causes tzuris. And the English says that it's a gnat, G-N-A-T, a gnat. Okay, whatever. So what's the halacha? Zog tach Rav, such a gnat doesn't live for more than one day. Unless Didva says Rashi is a zvuv, a fly. A fly cannot live for more than bashata, for more than a year. So any flies that you have, don't worry about it. Within a year, they're all dead.
That'd be crazy till then, but.
And unfortunately, you also reproduce. But at least the fly that you got now won't live for more than a year. Aye, how can you say that? Amri Inchi, there's a famous expression that people use. Shev Shani Imra Baksa Mi Baka. 7 years, Shev Shani means 7 years. Imra from Loshana Merida, like it says, Zoilul Umayra, that you have a Merida of Baksa, of the Mrs. Nat, that's a female Nat, Mi Baka from her husband, the male Nat. Why does she go and make a 7 year rebellion? To Amalei, she says to her husband, Chazit al Bar Mechoyze. You saw those Bar Mechoyzen. Mechoyze is the name of a town. That's where Rava was the Ruv. And the people in Mechoyze, it says, in other places were Unogim Ushmanim. They, Baruch Hashem, apparently were people of means, and they ate a mean meal, and they became nice and plump and heavy. The Sachma Maya. And during the summer months, they went and swam out there in the ocean or in the pool. The Sulik and they got out. The Echabasadin and they covered themselves with nice bath towels and the rest. Vaisivis Alei, and you, my husband, you, Mr. Baka, you went and sat yourself down on them. Umatis Minei, and you, a blood sucker, you sucked out the blood, just like the mosquitoes that go and cause trouble when you come out of the swimming pool, etc. Vayadatali, that was the opportune time that I should also be able to participate in your seuda and go and draw the blood out of these bar mechoyzes.
You didn't
take me out to dinner. So it says for 7 years. And you just said now, Rav, that they can't even last one day. Omelette. So Rav answered back. Well, this was a pup and a bayit. So bayit answered, Lutamach. Let me ask you. There's a similar expression. How the Amri Inchi? People say, Shitin money parzala tolulei labaka bekurnesei. The baka, this gnat, when it goes and bites, or when it draws the blood, or when it stings, whatever, it's cornice. Cornice means like an anvil or a hammer, where when it does its bite, it is such a heavy-duty bite, it's as if 60 mani, 60 weights of barzel, of iron, are hanging on that baka bekurnesa, on this gnat. So let me ask you a silly question, says Abai. The whole gnat is the chagunish. You're going to put 60 weights of barzel on it? Come on. Ella, the expression means b'mani did who? According to their weights value system. In other words,
relative to their size.
Relative to their size, they have a tremendous koyach in their bite or in their sting. So therefore, people use that expression. Ho ho.
7 years is not 7 human years. Yeah. It's seven gnat years.
Hachanami bishani didhu. How much is taka 7 gnat years? Says Rashi. Bishani didhu is rigoyim hein. These are seconds. So there's a 7 second rebellion that the Mrs. Nat has against her husband the Nat. And we call it 7 years because in their system of longevity, since they only live for a day, mm-hmm. So 7 seconds is a long period of time. So it's if it's 7 years relative to a person. Fascinating discussion. And now we get back to a totally different sugya, the famous sugya of called Yasser Kenotel Dami.
Yes.
This is a sugya that Rabbi Cohen Zichron Levracha always used to refer to from time to time. Anyway, says Yimar Tanan Hasan, we learned that Mishnah. Behema, the Mishnah Mesech says Bechayis. Now here we're not talking about Hilchos Treifis, Tarfis, we're talking about Hilchos Karban. If you have a Karban of course is not allowed to be a Balmum. Rashi says, for instance, it's got to be Bechor, a Balmum, of course you can't bring for a Karban. And Rabbi, you're going to go and shecht it outside. Okay, so you have a behemoth that has 5 legs, or it only has 3 legs. Harizemum, it's a Chamum. And Omer Avuna, Leishon HaLeshachosav Yeter Biyat, that the extra leg is in the front. In the front meaning the 4 legs. Instead of having the front legs having 2 legs, it has 3, or it has 1. Ah, v'chosav yetzer b'regel, that would be not only a mum, that would be a treifa nami havi, it's totally treif. What's the reason why? My time, yes, it cannot tell me. That any type of extra foot in the back is just as if it's missing a foot in the back. Just like if it's missing the foot, it would be a treifa. If it has an extra foot, it's a treifa, but only by the feet and not by the front legs, the 4 legs. apparently lehavdil like a person it's much easier for a person to live with an amputated arm than chas v'shalom an amputated leg. An amputated leg could be
the treif of markuva lamala is only in the hind legs, not in the foreleg.
Exactly right. Only the hind legs, not the foreleg. So that's what Gemara is saying. The same thing is chiyas kenotel dummy. If you have an extra leg or it's missing a leg, it's only a problem in the back and not in the front. So now we want to know whether this din of yes kenotel dummy also applies to other organs in the body. So he chiyusa, there was a chayah, the havlu atarti san yedivi. Now we had the san yedivi, remember a few days ago. San yedivi means a part of the keres. The keres is the first of the four stomachs, where the food would get immersed in all types of body chemicals to go and break down the food. And as the food is breaking down and eventually going to become waste and going to be ejected by the body, during that period of time, it lies there in that section of the keres, and it has a terrible odor, a terrible stench. So much so that the ze'evim that usually do not discriminate between chapping any of the meme'ayim, when they smell that keres, they say, that's not for me. Well, no thanks, we leave that for somebody else. I'm not taking it. So the word sanya is from Lashon sin'ah. They hate, detest. Divi is from Lashon of Zeivim. So therefore the wolves detest that portion. So what happens if an animal doesn't have one Sanya Divi, it has two Sanya Divis? Can you imagine? Wow! What happens now? Eisul Arvina, Brotar Arvina, Batarva, Midravuna. Why? Because Ravuna just said, yes, it cannot hold on me. Yes, it cannot hold on me. If, however, these two Sanya Divi were one adjacent to the other, and there was a hole between the two, so that some of the waste could slosh back and forth from one to the other, then it's Ksheira, because really and truly it's only one compartment.
It was just developed to look like two.
Exactly, it looks like two from the outside, but really and truly it's really one, because you see that it's an open sewer one to the other. This from the outside, there's some sort of crust or membrane, but it's really one altogether.
The Sanya Divi was the same one we discussed, Ten Tumblad or whatever?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
That was all the way at the end.
The keres. Correct. From the keres until it goes all the way out to the Besikoisis and to the Hemsis and to the Dakin, there's already that Sanya Divi.
Actually, he has in the picture here that comes after the Dakin, so he has a Sanya Divi over here.
Right. I would think it would be all the way at the
end. What can I tell you? We have to go back 10 Blad. My recollection is over there, the Morris Trophy Bethel was in the keres, but
Besikoisis, the keres, the Hemsis.
Okay,
fine. And the Sanya Divi is over here between the Dakin and the.
If in fact, well, our Gemara for sure, because now you have the picture. Okay, I'm not going to argue with the picture. I'm pretty sure that other Gemara was talking about the keres, but I'm not going to look it up now. I am happy to waive my rights over here and to bow to both of you and say that it's part of the keva near the Dakin. Fine, no problem. Good. I saw that. Then in Tarfa, because of Hilna, they said, Now, we're going to have similar situations. A Gufsa, Rashi says, Gufsa means a Kana of Basar. Where is the Rashi? Gufsa, parallel to our Gemara. Kimai Kana Basar. Kana Basar means like a tube of flesh. Now, the Nafkin be Kasi Lulav Lila, if it somehow stuck out from the base of Kosis to the Hemsis. Hemsis and Besikoisis are the two stomachs in the middle, right, which are connected to one another. And here there was some sort of extra growth of flesh, one into the other. The Meforshim say it was not just a growth of flesh, but apparently an extra chamber of some sort. And now the question is this also that Kalukiyasa Kinotodomi? It's somewhat of Ashila Mitrafa, because I have an extra fifth stomach over here. No, this is a common extra growth that you find many of the chayas, and therefore this is not a symmetry, for this is a natural type of thing. Maybe you haven't seen it before, but if you go and inspect and investigate and look through the chayas priyasa, you'll see that plenty of them have it. We have this also, Gabi, the inunisa devarda, that has that extra little una lobe on the bottom. That's also fairly common among the chayas priyasa. Hu gufsa. Gufsa again is that same kind of basar and ashtikal chamber, an extra one, to have a ma'abra mi bay kasi likarsa. Oh, instead of going from the base of koisis to the hamsa, the ones from the base of koisis to the keris. So my Ravashi looks like, sure, I just heard a moment ago that if you have that extra compartment that leads from the base of koisis to the hemsis, it's okay. So probably if it leads from the base of koisis to the keres, it's also okay. You want to go and sew each one of them with the same sewing machine with the same stitch.
We had all the time. This organ, it dies, this organ, it lives. You can't be
medamah. Why? Because here on the top, it chotka, it dies, and in the bottom, it chotka, lives, or vice versa. It's a treif, therefore you cannot go and make comparisons. So he has the expression, can you go and knit and can you go and sew them all with one stitch? In other words, it's not one size fits all. Some have this halach, some have that halach. No, no shtich. Hey, in Nosabar, Shila Rab Tadchai, the Tzipari, he was the head of the Shochtim in Tzipari. Lefnei Rabbi, he brought in front of Rabbi, he was made in front of Rabbi, that what al shnei, b'nei me'ayim, a yoytzim, and a b'haim. That he had an animal that had two b'nei me'ayim, two separate groups of intestines coming out. Ki'achot, like what? So, she treif, he said that it's treif. U'kinegdev oif, shayu, however, if you have an oif, where you have these two b'nei me'ayim going out, then it's kosher. The man of whom she oyts mishnei mekoyis. That's after they're coming out from two separate places. The yotzim mukim echad. They call them ad ki etzva. If they both come out of the terrace towards the dock in one place, even though there are two groups of them, but they come out as one. They call them ki etzva, and they end at after an etzva. Then it's kosher. We'll see what that means in a second. The column I catch. When do I say that these two parallel intestines are kosher if they afterwards merge into one? If they don't merge into one, even the two separate independent ones, it's also kosher. Isn't that what the Brisa said, or what the historian said of the Sey Nosam Barshila? He said it was kolon ad ke etzva. It sounds like kolon means that they came back together after an etzva and they are now merged. So I understand what he means, had to be arvi. What does it mean that they get together? What does that expression mean? So what Rashi explains is that the machloek between Rabbi and Ravasi is they both agree that it would only be kosher if the two pipes ultimately merge. The question is, where do they have to merge? According to one man, they have to merge shortly after the two pipes come out of the keres, or out of the keva, leading to the dakin. If within one etzba width, even though initially they came as two separate pipes, but after one etzba, boom, they have now merged together, that's kosher, because it was just a temporary thing, just like we had before about you have the two shafchin l'hadodi, even though it looks like it's two, it's really one, and yes, fashtikula, it was separated into two. The other man Yama says that it can go and remain two separate parallel dakin intestines until the end, but until the end, when it gets to the rectum, when it gets to the place where it's rejected by the body, oh, at that point, as long as it one ke'etzba and merges together, that's still okay. That's what he means at ketzba lamata. So you have the machloikis, is the etzba milamala, already at the outset, when the dakin are coming out of the keres, they started off as two. But within already an etzba, they already merged into one. Good. But the other man, the other says, even if they remain two, they go into the whole way, a long, long intestine. But at the very end, it gets together again, it merges, and long ketzba, at that point, is also
kosher. Etzba before the large intestine.
Yeah, I know, before large intestine.
For the next organ
or before it's ejected from the body, when it gets towards what the Gemara called before, I think, the chalulis,
right,
which is the rectum, that it's ready to be ejected. If you look at the milmata of Rashi, the Rashi is also milmata, six lines before the wide lines, is Rashi milmata.
Some
of the neck of a rei, the neck of the rei means the hole at the end where it comes out. You shouldn't have two holes down below. Right. You should have one only emerge there before the end by the last etzma. Good. We had back in the Mishnah, Yehuda said that if the noitza is the feathers that are around the neck of this bird, if those have been removed, it's possible. Rashi explained it's possible because it's like a gluda, just like if you have an animal which is missing its skin, machlik is a meir and chacham, whether it's kosher or not. If you'd have said that if it's missing its noitza, it's possible. And the noitza, if you remember, Rashi said in the Mishnah, is somewhat different than your regular kanafayim, because regular kanafayim have stems and noitza without stems. These are like the smaller feathers. Anyway, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Dabar Echad, the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, and a second Rabbi Shmuel, they hold the same. Rabbi Yehuda of the Amaran, that said that the noitz is missing, it's possible. The reason why it's missing is possible because it's deemed to be like the hide, like the oir of the oifois. And what's like Rabbi Shmuel? Not Rabbi Shmuel, Oymer, ha noitz mitzterefes. What's mean the noitz mitzterefes? So Rashi says, legabi hilchois, pigol. Means Gabi Hichel's pigul. What happens if the kohen or the one who's doing the avoida, b'shas doing the avoida, he has in mind that we're going to go and eat this bird? talking about the mushla chatas oif. Chatas oif, they did the malika, and the malika is almanas lechol kizayis from the basar of this oif, together with the oir of the oif, together with the noitza of the oif, and I'm going to eat all of those chutz lizmanai. It becomes pigul, even though I needed the noitza to be mitzvah to kizayis. Because remember, you're talking about these small little pigeons and turtle doves. There's very, very little flesh in them. Sometimes you go to a fancy chasana and they give these full chickens. What do they call them? Capons, I think they call them, and they're so small. So gemat gunish to essen. Yes, yeah, you have a ganze chicken, but there's nothing to eat because there's very little on the boat. See here too, by these little malika sa'oif, there's very little to eat. So the person had in mind during the malika, we're going to go and eat all three of them. The oir mit the noitze mit the basar, and eat chutzas manoi and it's mit starif to be shmol to make it into pickle. What do I see from this? That by saying that the noitze is just like the oir and just like the rest of the bird, it has a din of oir. Oh, so just like Rabbi Yehuda said that it has a din of oir legabi kuluda, here Rabbi Shmuel says that a din of oir legabi tzira for pigel. Amar avadam alai nishkaraya. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yehuda bishmol amar davarach and said Rabbi nishkaraya. Ad kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda hachal in yitreifa to like a meaty to make it all that. That's the problem of gluda. An infection and germs and bacteria are going to set in because there is no hide and therefore there's nothing to be megan. There's no protection, no shield. If you're talking about Hilchas Pigel, Kerabanan Svirle, then he holds like the Rabbanon. What would the Rabbanon hold? That it's not deemed to be Or and it's not Mitzdarif to Hilchas Pigel. When did Rabbi Shmuel hold that it is mitzav lichas pigel? And the nifkul of the gabe pigel, because then he says it's such a small bird, and the oir and the noitza are so flimsy and so thin, it's like a chicken skin, which is edible. Here's also it's edible, so therefore it's considered to be all midid achila, and yitzim b'pasul machshev is pigel. Avil inyan treifa agun lamegan. Everybody agrees that this little noitza stuff, that doesn't do any great shielding. It's the chagonish stuff. So therefore, the two are unrelated to one to each other, and you cannot bring a raya from one to the other. So the Mishnah writes, Achuzas hadam v'hamushemes v'hametzunenes v'sheochle hadufni v'sheochle tzeis hanigoylem oishishosis mayim aroyim is ksheirem. If you have an animal that became a chuzadam says Rashi means she'och sedam v'cholza. It got a sudden onset of blood, like a major blood pressure, and it became sick as a result. So now it's a sick animal. Or mushenis, the animal was involved in some sort of fire, and it got damaged with smoke inhalation. V'hametzunenis, or it got a cold, it caught a cold. Says Rashi, nichnas choyli machmas tzina, it got fever, it's all cold. Vishaakla hardufni, or the animal ate hardufni. What's hardufni? Says Rashi, sam hamavis labahema. This is some type of poison which is poisonous to animals. Vishaakla tsoyev tanigolim, if it ate the tsoyev tanigolim, which is also injurious to an animal. Or Yishos maimaraim drank bad waters. In all these cases, it is not a treifa, it is still kosher. However, Ochle samamavis, if it ate a samamavis, which is samamavis for a human being. Or if a nachash went and bit into that animal, muteres mishum treifa, that doesn't make it into a treifa. But people should beware not to eat from it because it could be a sakana for them, because the venom inside the animal may not kill the animal, but chas v'shalom can go and kill the individual. So therefore, you have a shaila of sakanas nefesh. We go back to Reisha Amishmur. He'll eat the chiltis. What happens if you took an animal and you force fed it? We spoke about kishtok again. Here, he'll eat the, we force down the mouth of this animal, chiltis. Chiltis is a type of herb or vegetable which also is poisonous in nature. Then says the Gemara, it's treifa. That's a treifa. Why is it treifa? My time, the mint valula mayona. Because when the animal eats it, it is such a strong potion, it's like an acid, and it's going to go make holes in the intestines, the kishkis, and therefore a neck given the mayon and the kishkis is a treifa. I don't know if it does in the vation, but in the mayon, down the dak and down below. Master of Shizbi. Faith of Shizbi, you just said now that Chiltis makes it a treifa. I have a brice. Now you'll notice that the brice is very similar to the Mishnah, but it's different. The brice is taught to Achuz the Sadam, Vamushet, Shachla Dufni, Shachla Tzitz Tanigoyim, Shachla Tzitz Maim Haroyim. And Helita Teya. We're going to talk about what a Teya is on the bottom. Helita Teya. Or Chiltis, or our case of Chiltis. Or Pilpilin. Or Pilpil as a strong peppers. Or Achlasama Maves. It's Ksheira. So now the Gemara is going to say we have a double Kasha. What's the double Kasha?
We dropped the Mitsunenis, right? I think we dropped, yeah, this one we didn't have Mitsunenis.
It left it out.
Right.
But the Gemara doesn't ask a kasha from that, because okay. It's just an omission.
Okay.
But the kasha is the fact that it does say Chiltis.
Right.
And what does it say about Chiltis? It says Ksheira. Right?
That's so sir, what Shmuel says.
Well, Shmuel said that it's straight. That's right. Kasha number one. Kasha number two is going to be that we said in our Mishnah, Ochle Sam Hamoves, in the Sefer, we said, although it's a Trefer, it's Mutu Mishim Trefer, although it's Kosher, but it's also Mishim Sakkos of the Foshes. But that was not in the ratio of the Mishnah, that was the Sefer of the Mishnah.
Right.
And here we're putting this Ochle Sam Hamoves in the Ksheira in the ratio of the Mishnah. And the Sefer, we leave out the Ochle Sam Hamoves, but we put in a Kisha Nochosh, which we had in the Mishnah, Oish Nosh Kelev Shaita, maybe the dog had rabies. Mutaris mishum treiva, so mishum zekaros afashes. So now we have a double kasha. Kasha chiltis achiltis. That's the kasha on Shmuel. Kasha samavus, because our Mishnah says the samavus is part of the sefer where it's kosher, but zekaros afashes. And the Braisa put that in the ratio where it's totally kosher. You don't have to worry about zekaros afashes. Chastira. Everyone chiltis achiltis kasha can be alim can be kurtin. By chiltis, it has two parts to this herb, to this vegetable. It has both alin, it has leaves, and karten means it has the actual itself, the spice itself, or this vegetable itself. And if you're talking about the alin, that is not so dangerous. If you're talking about the karten, that is dangerous. So therefore, that's the difference of the animal to eat from it. Will it be manak of the mayonis? Yes or no, depending on whether it's alin or karten. When it says in the Mishnah, the Ochle Samamavis, Rashi says Samamavis means it's a Samamavis for a person. Oh, for a person, it's a poison for a person. Don't eat Mishum Sakaras the Fashis. The Braisa, when it says Samamavis, talking about Samamavis for a Bahaima. Samamavis, Bahaima, it's kosher. You don't have to worry about it. You're a person, you're not a Bahaima. Freitimura, I. Because Rashi said in the Mishnah, what means Hadufni, third of the wide line, Samamavis Lebehema. So you're telling me Samamavis, but the Mishnah already, this price already used the word Hadufni.
As a standard for all Samamavis Lebehema.
It says, Achuzes Damu Shenashich Ochle Hadufni, and that's Samamavis Lebehema. And then you're telling me it says again, Ochle Samamavis Lebehema. So we're repeating ourselves twice. If they were Hainu Hadufni, so we're taking the Samamavis. Two different types of Samamavis. One is called the Hadufni, one is called the generic Samamavis. Two different types, but the mice of the boat, Samamavis Lebehema. Therefore, you don't have to worry about it in terms of being a human being. And therefore, not only is it kosher, you don't have to worry about Sakonis defashes. What exactly is my teya? We said about if a person was alita teya or chiltis, my teya. Rav Yehuda, that's ikra dimarirta. That's some sort of shoyrish of something which is morar, something which is very, very bitter. And therefore, what we're saying is, if an animal ate this very bitter herb, probably something similar to a morar, like chrein or something like that. Yeah. Nevertheless, it's kosher and it's not a sakana for human beings. Stop over here, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Zayin.